right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by me, Robbie Earl, and my longtime friend from work, Kyle Schoenwell. And I say welcome back to you all that are tuning in, but also kind of welcome back to us getting back in real time on Agatha All Along with
good
folks.
Point.
This is always, in some ways for me at least, the week that is most anticipated for me. It's really fun getting to watch some of these episodes ahead of time, but it is nice kind of being back in the spot where we can join in on the speculation and not be afraid that we're going to spoil something, which is kind of the space that we've been living in for the past couple of weeks.
I'm calculating, do you want to get into it right now? Or do you have anything else we should say? Otherwise, I want to follow up with a question right there. Let me share one thing. Let me share one thing totally off subject.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me this book, and they should know I don't read. So, you know, you shouldn't send me a book. I got this book. Did you ever get this?
Oh, yeah. No. Marvel sent us copies of we've actually, I've been needing to read that as well.
So for our audio only audience, it's a copy of What If, and it's What If Wanda Maximoff and Peter Parker were siblings. You got this.
I did. Listen. Yeah. I haven't gotten to read it yet.
Okay. Well, I want to bring this up for one reason. I don't read. We got this like a month ago. My wife read the whole thing and she loved it.
Really?
So she told me I need to plug this because she loved it. So shout out to, let's see. Seanan McGuire? See, I don't know. Shout out. It's the whole premise is if Peter Parker was her brother. And it's kind of like just obviously it's like what if it's twisting all these typical tropes.
Yeah, they're
and
doing
stories.
Kind of a series of these what if novels. And I haven't gotten to read any of them yet. But that's
well, my wife was glued.
Plug.
My wife was glued. So this is a non-sponsored plug. There you go.
Wow. Okay. Well,
so. Yeah. Anyways, Agatha All Along episode 4.
That's it.
I mean, I feel like that's a good thing to share. It's a good thing to share. She really loved it. And we get some stuff in the mail, and a lot of times if it's reading, I don't read it. And she went, you know, used her own power, found it, read it herself, and then told me she loved it.
Wow. I like that. No, that actually is that's a good word, because I've had it sitting on my pile and have not had a second to read it. So maybe I'll do that, and then maybe we can talk to the author on the show at some point. But
yeah, okay.
Speaking of, we've got some fun interviews coming up, which is kind of timely given the episode that we were watching for this week. We've got a couple, some that are more on the comic side of things that we'll get into, but at least one that is very much on the Agatha All Along side of things.
Yeah. We think. As long as it's confirmed, yes.
Fine. We can hold off.
Okay. Yeah. Teaser. Yeah. Some big conversations coming up. And like you said, I think next week's episode is the one that I circle where I go, yes, now we're back in sync with the audience for the first time, just because you and I watched this 3 weeks ago. Then we didn't get a chance to rewatch it until last night, which I did. Did your feelings change on a rewatch last night, or did it confirm kind of some of the hesitations you had on our screener? So by the way, we saw 4 episodes from Agatha All Along a couple weeks ago, and offline, you and I were like, man, that was really fun. I'm into it. And then both simultaneously, without us talking about it ahead of time, we're like, that 4th episode though, like I think even in our first episode of Agatha, you were like, or the second one, we were talking about the song, and then you a couple times referenced like it didn't work as well later. This is what we were referencing this episode. And so both you and I didn't love this episode and felt like it's not fair to this specific episode if we don't wait and watch it again because it's been so long to give it another chance and see if, you know, the watermark name on the back of your screener maybe was throwing you off or something was throwing you off. Like, let's give it a full chance on Disney Plus. And so I watched it fresh last night, not on my phone, watching it with my wife. But my feelings didn't change much.
Yeah, you know, it's funny for me. every time we talk about rewatches, I think that there's always room for it to move a little bit, especially when it's something that I didn't like as much the first time, because once I kind of have the context, I feel like I'm, part of it is I'm able to focus on different things and I'm not as thrown off when something happens that I'm not into. So I think it's like, and I never know what's the more authentic reaction in that sense. I think it's probably more telling the first one, because most people don't rewatch things in the same way that we wind up doing for the
It's the Quantumania thing.
Yeah. But I think here it did improve for me slightly, but I think in part because I was looking at it in terms of the kind of unfurling mystery that's coming through the show in general. Like, I think, and that's why I say I'm excited to be back this week, because even though this is an episode we've seen before, it's now bringing us up to date where I now have the same questions, I think, that our viewers have. And so, like, with that in mind, there were a lot of kind of interesting little clues or breadcrumbs in this episode, whether they're actually clues or just meant to throw us off. So, like, that stuff I really liked, but the stuff that didn't work for me on the initial watch still didn't work for me here.
Which was?
Well, if we want to get into it, we can get into it.
I want to get into it. Okay. Because Pete texted us last night after he watched it and had similar questions that we had the first time we saw it. I haven't fully dove into our Discord channel. I'm assuming it's similar feeling to how Pete felt and how I felt. I saw some mixed reaction. No one hated it, but just like, yeah, that one wasn't my favorite, but I saw some people that love some stuff. I was trying to put my finger on, to me, the whole episode, you tell me if I'm crazy, the whole episode just feels a little bit off. It's hard for me to articulate why I feel a little bit, Miss Marvel, where it's a massive turn where all of a sudden I was like, what in the world are we even doing? Not that,
right?
But just something, maybe it's the lack of Jack Schaefer directing, something about it just felt a little bit off. I like, in some ways, I think the acting is a little overacted, and I know they're trying to play into the witch thing, but like Aubrey Plaza and Catherine Hahn kind of like really overdoing everything, every hair flip, every jacket turn. I don't know, for some reason it just feels a little bit forced. Something about the chemistry or like around the fire and before they go into the trial, I can't put my finger on, like, it doesn't feel as funny to me. Teens lines don't work as much. Like,
yeah,
when they're staring into the mirror and they're like, wow, we're a album cover ready to happen. Or wait, like that.
Yeah.
Delivery and the line itself isn't as funny as like the welcome coven sign to me from the second episode.
Yeah.
Like the humor is a little bit off. And then the actual trial feels a little bit off. Like the threat doesn't feel as sincere to me. It doesn't feel as dark. It feels more kitschy. I don't know if it's because they're playing like literal Rock Band and like all the stuff that worked in the first time they did this song, mixing in like Christoph Beck's app, like actual scary type haunting sounds in the background with a genuinely terrifying like zombie witch attack while singing the song, I thought worked so well. And then here it's just like kind of cheesy, like the fire demon. And I never really feel the threat of the fire burning like I do the poison. My point is, I know I'm already just laying into it. It's not awful. Just something about it on every kind of level wasn't quite connecting with me like the first three were.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I think that I feel pretty similarly. I think, though, for me, it is. I remember wondering this before if it were a direction thing, and I think it's more of a writing thing. In part because I did like episode three a lot, and it's the same director.
Yeah, right.
And this is a new writer on this episode that will not, I don't think she's done anything else within Marvel, Giovanna Sarkis, and she's not doing anything else in the series, which I'm not trying to say like good riddance, but I just think that it might be a one-off in that regard.
Even the format, did you have questions? And I hate that I'm now taking, the lead on this because people don't know that you sometimes don't like things too, but
hey, I was getting ready to start. I was getting ready to start with it. And you were like, wanted it.
I know what I'm saying.
You're like, give me the mic. I've got negative thoughts.
I know. I came into this going, let Robbie lead it so people don't think I'm the only one that dislikes it. And then I start and I'm like, I can't not tell you that I don't love it as much. Let me ask you a question to maybe frame your conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if in general, because this took Pete aback or threw Pete off the first time, I wonder if the format threw me off because people like Greg, and I think people that had researched it knew that it seemed like they were going to get to the Witch's Road and then have these separate trials for each witch.
Right.
I think ahead of time when we saw the screeners, I hadn't done that much research into the flow of the episodes. And so when I watched the third episode and they go into this house and there's a trial, I was kind of into the whole thing. Like, that's that trial. Mm-hmm. I don't think I then assumed that right away they would just take a few more steps down the road and go into another house that changes their outfits again. Like, I think for a second I thought maybe it could have been a different format. Like, maybe this time the trial happens on the path and it's not like a you have to get out of a clicking timer type house. And so I think maybe when I saw this and it was kind of like retreading the like, oh no, we're not going to get out of here and it's a different witch and yet not doing it as effectively, I think I realized, oh, okay, they're going to do this for each witch. So that means probably two more episodes of this with this kind of like go into a house type format. And I think that maybe threw me too. And I'm curious if you had any concerns about that, or did you always know it was going to be like four episodes of running through those?
No, that's a good question. I think I assumed after episode three that we would be dealing with some kind of like episode or trial per episode kind of a thing. I guess I probably expected the house thing because I think in episode three, they have that, like there's something, like we saw it again here, like when they go up and it's like the, you know, whatever the moon shape is on the door, it's like, oh, this is the fire one. I think so. And there was something similar in episode three that made me think they're going to have a moment like this. Now, again, that could have been something that showed up not on a door. So it's not as though that had to be a house. But I don't think that it caught me off guard in episode four. I do think that, like for me, I think it is the writing of this episode because I just not just the dialogue. I think just the format of the episode, it was just a little like some of the stuff that I was concerned about with this show heading into it, that it was just going to be a little cheesy and a little too like, I don't know. There's this weird line where like the first couple episodes did such a great job of winking at the camera in the way that you need to. Like, it's like, cause you can't, when you're doing a show like this, you have to, it's again, why I think Mrs. Hart was such a key character and why I think that's another big loss that's felt here is like, you need the grounding figure, the person to say like, this is all crazy. And it's like, that's in the MCU's DNA going all the way back. Like, that's the thing with Iron Man from the start, where it's like, we are going to be, like, we know that superhero stories are kind of goofy, but we're going to lean into it in the right way so that you can, like, feel something. Like, it's not as though we're doing all of this ironically, but also, like, we're going to consistently give you a little wink to know that, like, we're having fun with it. Like, it's not like a... And that's like such a hard balance to maintain. And this episode does not maintain it. Whereas I think the other ones did. And so like, that's one thing for me. But I think the format itself, I think I'm okay with it because I was thinking who we have left. And we have Lilia, I would assume, is the next one because I'm guessing it will culminate with Agatha and I guess maybe Rio, depending on how, you know, whether she kind of counts and we can get into that later. But given that, like, Agatha's is going to be really interesting, I think. Like, we're going to learn a lot about that. And that's not going to feel to me like an episode that we have to, like, rush through to get to the plot, which is, I think, maybe the way that people feel about this episode and maybe the way people would feel about the next one. Like, let's just get to where we know more about Agatha. But I think I'm also okay learning more about Lilia because I'm more interested in that character than I am really Jen or Alice because of the way that they've kind of been doing this, like, one, like, she keeps going somewhere, like, whether it's like she's like going to the future and or like having some kind of prophetic, like Emma Thompson Prisoner of Azkaban moment, or like it's something totally different that we don't know. But either way,
what a reference.
Either way, I'm curious, like, what it is that we're going to find out with her. And the other piece that I'm curious about is,
let me pause you and say, I agree. One of my notes is that, like, in general, I'm really intrigued by Lilia. I want to know, I literally wrote, what do you think is going on with Lilia? And so I think my guess is that this will be my least favorite episode of the whole series, because even if they stick with the format, like you're saying, I'm just in general more intrigued by a trial for Lilia, Agatha, or Rio in general. Like, those would be the ones that would get me more. Not to mention the, like you're saying, the Prisoner of Azkaban, like, panic, like, wherever she's going things. I'm genuinely intrigued by that. So continue.
Well, and I think it's not as though I was super interested in Jen, but I really liked the way they explored that character. Like, I thought the essential oil kind of thing was funny there. And there was also a line here that I thought was funny.
Funny there, and I thought the appropriate amount of horror, like, kind of like actual tangible, like the drowning thing was like, what the heck?
And again, whereas it was
they're leading to the practical effects, I get it, but like the curse thing never got me as much.
No, the other thing with the Jen episode is it just felt more clever. Like, I like the fact that the horror element was, like, in some ways, this perfect, like, good housekeeping home, which was, like, kind of a funny, like, because she's like, oh my gosh, this, like, looks like my clients. And it's like this, it's sort of like the horror of what her life has become, but it's actually like a house that Mrs. Hart thinks is incredible. And like, there was some like humor in a way that was also really smart. And then you had legitimately scary moments in that. And that's the reason why I'm kind of excited about episode 5 too, because I feel like we got little flashes of everybody's background in episode 3 that I think we're going to see explored more in these subsequent episodes. Because we already did with Alice. I mean, I feel like the moment that we got between her and her mom in episode 3 was very much reflected in what episode 4 became. And the moment with Lilia in episode 3 was one of the scariest moments in the show so far. Like, with whatever guy that was, like, sitting at the table. And it, like, I wonder if we're going to get a legit haunted house in episode 5, which I think would be really fun.
She's like the future seer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've played on, you know, obviously each person's ability. And so I'm curious what that would look like. Yeah. Is it a haunted house where it's all like visions of the future haunting her, like what could happen at the end of this road, or, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, more intrigued by that.
Well, and by the way, in that regard, what is Alice's power? Like, I know it's fire, and I guess she's able to burn the curse. But like, I know whenever they're going around and collecting the witches, you know, it's like each one kind of has their role, but
What did they say again? I mean, they said something. She had some name, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just trying to think, like, the
that part of it too, and this is lame. It's not confusing. Like, it's easy to track, but even like the reveal of
she's the protector witch, I think.
Okay,
because she's like an ex-cop, and that's the anyway. Sorry.
When Agatha is like, it's actually been a spell that your mom's been protecting you, and you know your mom was trying to find the Witch's Road with all her listeners, all her fans were the coven.
The fans were the coven line was tough. That was tough for me.
Yeah. It's a little bit weird to even kind of track. It's not confusing necessarily, but like even like what her mom was doing, like did her, like she says earlier in the episode, my mom did die on the road, but then mm-hmm. she died in a hotel fire.
Well, on the road, like on the road touring.
Oh, not the Witch's Road.
Well, I think you're supposed to think it was the Witch's Road. And then she's like, yeah, she died on the road.
But she could never actually get to the Witch's Road while right. on the road because her coven of the listeners, something wasn't working.
I guess, yeah, summoning. I guess not.
And my point is that, yeah. and then being like, actually, she was singing it as a protection spell. Even that, in a nutshell, I don't feel like is the cleanest writing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Because it's like, was she trying to protect her, or was she trying to get to the Witch's Road so that she could then protect her? Like, because, or is it just both? It's like the act of trying to get to the road and then trying to open it was also an act of intended protection. And therefore, it had this. Yeah, no, you're right. It's a little less.
Because of that, everything surrounding Alice is my least favorite character in the show. So
I totally agree. And in all honesty, and it's actually not, I don't think, the performance from Allie on. I think it's mostly just the way the character's written. Like I think I maybe said this in our first review of episode 2, but it's just that was the one where I thought, like this is a little like you're gonna like I don't know that I want the kind of like I'm an ex-cop. I've got history, but I'm going to do what I have to do. It's just kind of like
Spider Cop from Spider-Man 1. That's what you sounded like.
Well, like she sounds a little like she's a little bit, and I don't like a little bit. I don't want to overblow this, but it's a little of what Agatha was like pretending to be or like aping in episode 1, like as the like just the like the tortured past, like burdened with like these things that I've seen and the life that I've lived. And it's like, I just don't know that I like, that's always a character that feels a little tropey to me. And I think what I like about Lilia and Jennifer by contrast is that there's some nuance to it. Like, especially with Jen, I think it's just really funny. The idea of like this version of being a witch, in part because like, that is a thing that has, like, in recent years, like, I have friends from Nashville that have, like delved into, like, a very kind of, like, Instagram-y sort of, like, Wiccan witch culture. And it looks a lot like essential oil things. Like, it's obviously not, like, they're casting spells. But it's this stuff where I'm like...
Is it, though?
I think it's... I mean, maybe they are casting spells. I guess I would never know if they were. But no, I'm just saying.
I'm just going to stay away from this. No comment.
I just think that that's smart. Like of a way, regardless of that part of it, like the whole like essential oils girl is just like, that is the stereotype that I think that they handled in a funny way.
Do you not use any essential oils at your house?
What's that?
Do you not use any essential oils at your house ever?
Of course I do.
I'm not
a monster.
Okay, I didn't know if you were some animal over there.
No, I mean, do you
some
use
eucalyptus? Some, yeah.
Do you put them on your pressure points?
I don't do that stuff. Do you?
No, but they do. They smell nice.
We have it in one of those, what is it, diffusers?
Diffusers, yeah. Yeah. I used to do that whenever we were showing our house. The house that we bought and later sold in Little Rock. But then I was told not to do that because I'm always trying to like set the mood, you know? Right. So I'm like, I would like put on some like nice music and like have it smelling nice. But then I was told that if you do that, people think you're trying to hide something.
So don't listen to the screams in the closet.
Yeah.
Don't smell to this music the dead bodies.
My point is like, I think there's a fun twist to that. And then like we said before, the Lilia character, there's like some intrigue. And I'm not saying that like the Alice character is like some massive, massive fail. But correct. I think I was always probably going to like her episode the least. And mm-hmm. then I think the actual execution of this episode didn't really do it any favors.
Good point. Okay, we'll be right back. OrganicPriceBooks.com. Promo code Friends From Work is the official provider, the official comic provider of Friends From Work.
Look at this.
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah, man. I know it's not September anymore, so my alliteration doesn't work in the same way, but I had talked about
Superman September.
and All-Star Superman was something that I really loved. This is another book that it's supposed to be the main source material for the Supergirl movie that's coming, I think, a year or two after the Superman movie that's on its way. That's kind of building out that James Gunn DC universe. But it's also written by Tom King, which is kind of timely here because he wrote the Vision series, the comic that WandaVision pulled so much from. That I think also could potentially be adapted a tad for Agatha. So something else that you can get on Organic Price Books, go there right now. I think that they're also still having a sale on some of their kind of over distribution, overstock stuff. And some of those books are insanely discounted. Go look for some of those.
You love
it. But regardless, you can find this and use code Friends From Work on Organic Price Books.
So as we mentioned, most of the things we brought up were negative. I talked about some of the things about Alice, and you mentioned just in general, this was not an episode that probably was going to be a highlight. However, positive time. That does not change some of my feelings about the show overall. As we mentioned, I'm excited about episode 5. The thing that intrigues me the most, though, is this Agatha's son backstory thing. And if Jack Schaefer continues a trend like she did with WandaVision, mm-hmm. I would really love an emotional, hard-hitting episode around episode 7 or 8 that really brings the character home for me. And I think that could potentially be coming. So the last line from Aubrey Plaza's character, Rio, at the very end of the show is intriguing to me. She says, "That's not your son," just flat out.
He's not your,
Your boy.
Yeah, that boy is not your son. Yeah.
That boy isn't yours.
No.
Specifically.
Yeah, that it's not yours. Isn't yours. I think that's important.
Why?
Because I was thinking about this. I thought, as I was remembering back to the screener, I thought that it was, "He's not your son," but it's, "That boy's not yours."
Isn't yours.
Isn't yours. And I think that could have two meanings. Like, I initially took it as, "It's not your son."
Like, it could be your son, but he was turned into the Darkhold, and so he's the Darkholds now. Or like that, you mean?
Well, yeah, it's like he belongs to someone else. Like, he is now, like, he's no longer, like, even if it is your son, he's no longer yours because now he is, like, spoken for. Or, like, if, you know, the whole conversation about, like, her trading her son to someone else for the Darkhold, like, is that what she's saying? Like, he's not, like, don't even get close to him because he's not yours anymore. Like, that relationship is no longer open to you. I don't know if that's what it means, but this was the time, like, this was the first time watching it back that I realized it could go either way, which is a very kind of Jack Schaefer WandaVision thing to do.
I think I'm secretly hoping for even more Wanda Maximoff tie-ins. And so I'm kind of hoping it's not directly Agatha's son, but I don't know how that would tie in.
Well, I think I've seen some theories from fans that it could be Billy, like one of Wanda's kids. That feels like there's some interesting stuff you could do there, because I could see where, like, you know, in Multiverse of Madness, which we've already seen referenced in the show, we find out that Wanda has kids in every other universe. And I think that, you know, it sort of begs the question, what is it about our universe where she doesn't? Like, is it because she's with Vision? Is it because of, like, the way that the battle with Thanos played out? Or is it something that Agatha did that is actually even, like, Wanda's so connected to the Darkhold based on kind of the prophecy and all that. Like, is there something in that where what Agatha did somehow, like, prevented Wanda from, like, I don't know. Was it like a trading of Wanda's kids, not Agatha's kids? But I don't know. That starts to feel really convoluted. And also, I just don't know if I want, like, one of Wanda's kids in the show without the other. Like, that feels kind of random to me also. But I have seen people talking about that.
Partially also because the actual Sichel spell looks kind of like a W. Have you seen that? Like, when it goes across his mouth, it almost looks like something that we've seen. But
no, that's one of the big questions I have. And, you know, we've talked about the kind of Nicholas Scratch thing, and I just don't think we have. All we really got in this episode was her, whenever it comes to Teen, she was obviously very concerned whenever he was kind of on death's door. Whenever he asked what happened to her son, she got weird and said, you know, heal fast. So it's like there is a tender thing there, whether it's like whether it's like she thinks that it could be her son, or whether it is her son, or whether she knows it's not her son, but she's just kind of like, it's bringing back these like maternal feelings for the first time since she's like not normally that. Like, you know, if you compare the reaction she has to Mrs. Hart's actual death to the fear that Teen might die, like, it's like night and day, and they're in the same episode. And I think it's intentional that they kind of bookend this episode, but I still don't really, like, I kind of love that it could go a lot of different ways and not feel like it would be out of left field. But that's the other question I wanted to ask you about. Like, the thing that I'm almost more interested in right now is, who is Rio?
Can I throw something back at you? What technically is a Green Witch?
I mean, I think it could, who knows? Like, I think it's supposed to be somebody that's got, like, the, like, I think in the same way that that Alice is like the protector and has like the fire, I think that like the Green Witch is just going to be associated with like,
the Green Witch embraces nature by drawing on the energies from the earth and of untamed things.
Right. So I think it's like there's like a natural element, kind of like a wild element, like a life-giving potentially. But I think what's interesting about that is,
we know they had a thing. in the past.
Yes.
And then she says she had to do something that Agatha didn't like.
And so I'm wondering, like, there are a couple of other lines that I noticed in this episode that I did not notice in the fourth one. And that's where I'm saying that, or my first time. And that's where I'm saying that this viewing was more fun for me because I just kind of blocked out the stuff I didn't like and paid attention to these sort of like dangling mystery lines. Like one, whenever I first watched it, there's a scene where Agatha's looking at herself in the mirror and Rio walks up behind her and she's like, boo. And Agatha says, don't. And I took that on a first watch as she was kind of like trying to flirt and like mess with her. And she was like, don't, like, it's not the time, or like, don't, I don't want to, like, I don't even really want to talk to you. I think here I noticed she's looking in the mirror at Teen. And then Rio walks up and says that, and she looks back at Teen, Agatha, and then says, don't, in a way that it feels pretty intentional. Like, there's no reason why they would show him and have her to look over in his direction twice. I'm not saying it's like a huge thing, but I do think it was intentional.
So what does that mean?
Well,
they have a past history too?
No.
At this point?
I'm wondering, like, because right after that, there's the moment when they, like, you know, Agatha turns the mic on in the booth so everybody can hear them.
Right. And I didn't even understand, what was the intention of that?
So they're talking and she says at the end, you know, you're going to kill every witch around you. And she's like, yeah, then what? And she says, well, then you get your powers back and I get the bodies. And so
it's bodies for sure.
I think that's what she says. Yeah. I think she says, I get the bodies. So now I'm thinking, like, is Rio actually some kind of like personified version of death, which is a thing that we have in the Marvel universe?
Hold on. That's more from like Thanos world, right? Like cosmic and...
Correct. Yeah. So that would be a twist in terms of the lore, but that's not, you know, the MCU is very fine doing that. I just am thinking, like,
it would make
not
more
that,
sense why she's playing this like crazy, I don't care about any of this stuff, like, oh, too bad we didn't get it, if she's already dead or something, you know,
like, or because she, like, and then I start thinking, like, okay, she shows up trying to kill Agatha and Agatha's like, you know, hold off, like, let me get my powers back, don't you want that, like, don't you want me at full strength? And at the time I thought, oh, it's because they have some kind of like grudge match and it would be unsatisfying to conclude that in a way that's just like Agatha as a victim. But now it's like, well, why is she intent on killing Agatha in the first place? Especially if at the end of this episode, when she's talking around the fire, she's not talking about like the scar being that Agatha hurt her. She's talking about the scar being that she hurt Agatha, presumably. So why then would she be motivated by this vengeance in a way that I thought she was? It's actually more in keeping with what she says around the fire, where she says that I had to do something that I didn't want to do and it hurt someone that I cared about, but it was my job, to paraphrase.
So maybe she killed her son or something.
I'm wondering.
Or she's death and the son got sick and she had to take the son and she's death or something like that.
Because it is like, you know, wasn't it either in the first episode or the third with Agatha, like she sees like the empty crib and...
I this is a masterclass by you right now. Like, this is one of those things again where either we're going to be totally right and I haven't heard this theory yet, and then people are going to be like, holy cow, Robbie... So perceptive, or we'll be like, you know, Mephisto all over again. This has nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I was even thinking about the Mephisto stuff. Like
could she be, instead of death, is she Mephisto? Like the devil?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the other, or is Mephisto death? Like, is there not actually going to be, like,
right,
you know, Jen references Mephisto, but even that could be either Jack Schaefer, like, she could just be trolling us with all the Mephisto stuff from WandaVision, which I would honestly be fine with.
Right. But you also said that Agatha sees the crib, and then what? When she pulls back the blanket, it's the Darkhold.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you could look at that as like, that's like, was it a trade? Because that's sort of what that vision seems to be playing into. Or was it like in her path to go after that? Like, she, like, did she actively give up her kid, or was her kid taken from her and instead she chose to go after the Darkhold, like, as a response? Is there more, does she have more in common with Wanda in Multiverse of Madness than we thought? Like, but regardless, I'm just wondering if Rio has a lot more to do with whatever that exchange was or process looked like. I don't think she actively gave up her kid for the Darkhold, is my thought. I think that whatever happened, she either like wound up in a situation where she like unintentionally chose the Darkhold over her kid, or her kid was taken from her, and that's kind of what led her to go down the witch's road, kind of like out of desperation, again, in sort of the same way that Wanda starts going for the Darkhold out of desperation.
Who did she create a kid with? Or can she conjure a child?
I mean, I guess it could have been anybody, because she's like however many hundreds of years old.
It feels like that would be important, though, versus just randomly choosing some guy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's the other, like, I'm curious if this is right in any way, like, is what does, how does Rio's relationship with Agatha factor into it? Like, prior to that moment, like, clearly they had a relationship and then she did something that hurt her, and it's something that she didn't want to do but felt like she had to do. So, like, if she is some kind of like other being, which I think is clear, like, even if she's not like death or some other like elemental thing, like the response she has when she's like, I am the Green Witch, like,
and just the fact that she got summoned and how she got summoned seems to be different than any of the other witches' abilities, slash, like, it seems like opening the door is quite the process. So the fact that she can just bypass that too.
Well, and she's like, she says something like, I was sent down or sent up, you know, and like.
Good point. These are good points.
I just.
She's some other being besides just a normal witch.
Yeah. And she does, I mean, because she acts like it would actually make me appreciate and reevaluate the parts of her performance that were a little off to me initially. Like, whenever I was like, I just can't really figure out what Aubrey Plaza's doing because it's like too much. But now it's a little bit got like a fish out of water thing.
I hope, like, she is Mephisto. That'd be kind of sweet.
That would be fun. Yeah. Or something like, but then again, I think the difference is Mephisto is supposed to be kind of like, Mephisto's the like trickster, you know, make a deal with you that goes the wrong way, kind of classic, like, deal with the devil guy. And I think.
Sounds like Twisted Metal. You remember that game?
Oh, man, I do remember that game. But I'm just wondering.
What was, like, the devil's name? Not Sweet Tooth. He's the clown. But who's the help? The devil. Keep looking it up. Look it up.
Is she? I'm wondering if she's like, if there is a Mephisto element, is she someone that like had to do
Calypso,
his bidding? Like, if it's, you know, like, or is it just, I kind of like the idea of her being some sort of force of nature. And I could also see where, like, if you look at Agatha as she was portrayed in Salem, you could see this idea of Agatha being in love with death in the same way that Thanos is in the comics. Like, that's clearly not a story that we're going to get from Thanos. I would not want to get that story with the MCU version of Thanos. So I think it could be kind of a clever way of working that in to the MCU in a, you know, in a way that's unexpected, but still like somewhat reflective of the source material.
My only other note that I wanted to share was I really love the line, but also not super political. As she drops in. Yeah. That was my favorite line of the whole.
That was a good line. Episode. I also liked the line from Jen where she's like, wait, so now we've got to deal with your family's old ass curse. Which you brought this up earlier. I am like, I'm, it's weird. I think that I should like the way that the curse is portrayed here. Like,
right. You know, I just edited your comic episode with Candace where she's talking all about the practical effects in horror movies. And then I went on our Discord and I saw a few people say like, wow, that was so cool to have the curse be practical effects. And yet I'm sitting there thinking, like, yeah, I should like that they're trying to do this with actual fire and practical effects. And yet I don't like it. It's kind of like, have you ever seen the argument about The Thing? Practical effects versus CGI.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we're all for practical effects in general. And then in general, it's like, let's try not to CGI everything until you see what a practical effect thing looks like. And then you're like, let's just go ahead and CGI that. Because it looks really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy actually wearing like a rock suit.
Right.
Just doesn't give you any feeling of power or strength or anything. It just looks like a guy in like a bloated fat suit. There's a little bit of that here where it's like,
yeah,
like I love it. But then when we zoom in and I can tell it's a person in a costume, then I'm like, I don't know.
It is.
It's practical effects, maybe just not executed well enough.
It's weird. I mean, I also think I would have felt a little bit like, think about if they had used that exact model and design. But to your point earlier, we had like Christoph Beck, like suspenseful, scary music behind it. And we had different lighting and we had like a kind of a jump scare with it.
Yeah.
Like that would be pretty effective, I think. But the problem is like we're getting this thing that's supposed to be scary, but to the tune of a song that's not scary and is kind of turns cheesy by the end. So it's this weird, like it's kind of discordant within the episode. Like I could see it working if it showed up in a different context. But I think that that was part of it for me is it was like now this just feels like one more kind of goofy ingredient in what feels like an increasingly goofy dish.
Yeah. I think if that one curse, to your point, had been like genuinely terrifying, like horror movie-esque, it would have made that balance work where like, yeah, the song's kind of cheesy and fun, but this is actually not a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I'm just thinking, I almost wonder if you could have gone the other way too, which is, could you have used the same demon, but maybe the song was actually like terrifying for some reason, and then maybe it would have worked.
Well,
but
so,
I think both being kind of like 70s rock song, like Earth, Wind, and Fire kind of thing with a demon in a costume is a little bit.
It is like
not the right balance.
Yeah, I think that like the kind of 70s thing was just like you could even maybe have done that in a way that was a little bit more effective. But also I'm just thinking for the first time, like timeline wise, does that even make sense? Like that, like I'm trying to think how old Alice would have to be for her mom to have been.
Here we go.
You know what I'm thinking? Like, it doesn't really matter, but it's like this show is supposed to take place in 2021, I think.
Hi, Samwise. Her mom is a rocker maybe in 1979, which means she's maybe 23. So she's 43 by 1999 when maybe Alice is born.
Yeah, I guess we don't know when her mom died.
I totally guess maybe 1995. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not a big deal. It's just, I don't know that we had to. My point is, I don't think we had to choose the 1970s aesthetic. And it's fun, but it's fun in a way that feels like it feels like they wanted to do this.
They wanted thing. To get the 70s aesthetic more than does it make sense of the story.
But I did like, I saw like glimmers of what could have worked there. Like you're talking about if the song were scarier, like I think if like the part of the episode when the song is playing backwards is actually like, it doesn't happen in a way that's supposed to be scary. It's more like overwhelming and 'cause it's really loud and Agatha like has to smash it. But like if that were the vibe and then you're getting these like flashes of the freaky demon thing, like that could actually be scary. And I kind of like that it plays into the whole like, was it Pink Floyd that you're supposed to like play the album backwards?
Okay, I was going to ask you, have you ever heard that theory of lots of things like Stairway to Heaven? Led Zeppelin backwards was a famous one. People thought it was like demonic if the record was played backwards. And you can actually find clips of like Stairway to Heaven.
Which is like, and it's like unnerving to listen to.
For sure.
So I like that they kind of played into that.
For people who don't know, for Steve Rogers, they're playing off like a real
that's true. He would have missed
that. Yeah. People had.
I mean, so there were things like that where I thought, okay, if you had done something like that and like even had that amp up the anxiety in the same way that you did like in episode 2 or in part in episode 3, just with like the timer knowing that the poison was about to take everybody out.
Right.
But I just never felt that pressure. I never felt that like eeriness that I think you could have maybe done if you weren't so interested in giving everyone like big fur coats and sunglasses. So it's like,
shots fired.
I think that there are still things that were done here that, like even within the 70s aesthetic that I think will pay off, like some of the interactions that we get between Agatha and Rio kind of in part because of that. And like the stuff in the mirror and like, there's a bit of like Agatha posturing, like there's good stuff. And I think Catherine Hahn remains really great. And I think like my last thought is just, I like still that we're seeing Agatha's like superpower be her ability to, she's wily, you know, it's like she can kind of like, on the one hand, she's manipulative, but she's also like clever and this like problem solver. And like you see her more and more be the one that knows kind of the way forward, even if she's the one that doesn't really care about anybody else. And so then it's like, as we find out more about this past that she has, I think that it's like, it's interesting to figure out how much of that's like projection.
Trauma induced. Yeah. Like, is there going to be like a moment where she started becoming that way?
That's maybe the most surprising thing to me about this show so far is for someone that did not really care about what happened to Agatha after WandaVision, I care. Like I care about that character at this point.
In closing, going back a second, I heard rumors that Aubrey Plaza might be in other projects in the MCU and that this is not like a one show thing. It's a rumor. I have no idea. But that does also play into your theory of she's some other being besides just a witch for this show. Like, I don't think there's any world where Jen is going to show up in, in something else, right? Like, she, at the end of this, she's either going to be dead or she's going to get what she needs and go back to, like, just living a normal life.
I want her in, like, the final lineup at the end of Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. You got, like, Dr. Doom, and you got Hulk, and you got Daredevil, and you got all these people lined up, and then there's Jen with her potions. There's Jen. Her candles.
Jen Unbound.
Jen Unbound with her candles, throwing candles at people.
I do think, that's the other thing that I'm just curious to see moving forward is how the...
Jen Unbound. Sounds like a movie.
That's true. The how the lore... around all of the kind of magic stuff progresses. Like, I do think that the show is interested in building out a corner of the MCU. And I think that I'm...
Captain Marvel and Alice. do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and
she's using her protection for Captain Marvel.
And the thing about that is it wouldn't be... in any way review bombed if you had a movie like that. Gosh. I mean, people would be all about it.
It'd be universally acclaimed and loved.
I'm curious to see what people think. And maybe if you're listening, this is the cue for you to write in or hit us up at the Discord. But I'm curious where this leaves this kind of like magic part of the MCU lore, because like I said, I think in our preview episode for Agatha, that's a part of the Marvel universe within the comics that I've always thought is a little dicey, because it's like, once you introduce like an actual devil or like death or like whatever we could be getting, it's like, okay, how does that factor up against?
But thus far, are you going to say what I think you're saying? For me, it feels like it's pretty contained, though. Something Agreed. About it doesn't feel out of control on that front.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
like,
that's
even
true.
Even if she is like a devil or a Mephisto or something, as of now, like seeing like how she is right now doesn't throw me way off. Maybe well, it's part, just, yeah, go ahead.
I think in part because it's like, well, we'll see with Rio how that goes, but it seems as though you kind of have to get to the witch's road, which is really hard to do.
Right. Or like be a participant in witchcraft to even have her be a threat to you. Yeah. It seems like kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's, I think, I kind of think you have to do something like that. Like, I don't think you can open the door.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why, like when people were talking about Mephisto in the context of Ironheart, which could still happen because the Hood is in Ironheart and the Hood has kind of like these demonic powers sort of. But I'm just like, I don't want like Ironheart talking to the devil. That feels like a mistake.
the power and the mechanics of it matter. That's why I always say that. Like to me, you set up that the Scarlet Witch is the ultimate alpha everything, like can destroy everything. So everything else you come up with has to fall below that now. Like,
yeah.
And I'm okay with her being out there or this like this dread of the Scarlet Witch being a thing. That's great. But now we got to work down. We don't work up from that. That's DC's thing. We got to work down from there. So if Mephisto is the devil, he or she still has to take orders from the Scarlet Witch.
Or
meaning,
it's
like the Scarlet Witch, if Wanda gets involved, can just get rid of Mephisto. That's what I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with the other way around.
Well, and it could be, yeah. It could also be an interesting kind of lateral from Multiverse of Madness move, because I forget that there is the like Kathan, the however you say that, the dark, like demonic entity that created the Darkhold, you know, that like transcribed it in like the Mount Wundagore that's then like put into the actual book. Like, we haven't really gotten any background into like who or what that is. So that's kind of an interesting, if they want to dig more into like that part of Multiverse of Madness?
It's weird, but I think I kind of like that witchcraft in this show is given all these rules or like constraints. Like, it's a weird thing, but like even the spell that doesn't allow Teen to talk, they go out of their way to be like, well, it's because the person who does it wouldn't know, and it's not gone, it's destroyed, and it's only destroyed once it's not needed. Like, it's weird, but I kind of like them just laying that out, because then it never feels out of control. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love the idea of what we said a second ago about how maybe the witchcraftness of it, like, you can be a normal person, get into witchcraft, and learn some like spells and potions and some powers, but outside of the realm of witchcraft, like, I don't think there's any reason to believe that like Hulk couldn't take Agatha and crack her in half and she'd be done. I think that's still the like expectation of like, if that, you know what I mean? I know that was really graphic. That was a Deadpool type
reference.
That's
right. Even in WandaVision, when she had her powers, I think that that's right.
Yeah. I think there's some level still of, it's still a normal person who's learned these things.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think Doctor Strange.
But Wanda, I think, is a little bit different, because I think Wanda could be a mutant as well, and like learning these things unlock something else, and or she's just destined by prophecy to be the greatest version of this ever.
Yeah.
Again, that's a little bit separate, but it seems like all those other people, like even the idea that Alice's mom thought all these listeners could be a coven-esque thing, or that the rule they said of like, you know, within 3 miles or 3 minutes, there's always some witches or whatever it is, 10 minutes. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But even them just saying that, I don't think you then are supposed to take that and go, if those witches just tried hard enough, they'd be Wanda. Right. Yeah. So my point is, I like the idea of just kind of confining it to certain things so that it does never get out of control. Whether that's the witch's road, or whether that's like you only can do simple spells or magic within the magic community, but like that doesn't just, like you say, like translate to we want you on the front lines against Dr. Doom or whatever. Like, we don't want you on the front line for a Secret Wars battle, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so it's so separate. That's all.
No, I think, I mean, even the fact that, like, and I like the way that Raimi played with this in Multiverse of Madness a bit more, but still, you ultimately see Strange, whenever he's in like combat mode, kind of, he's like conjuring up weapons. You know, he's like, he's not like doing something that like turns you into a frog. You know, he's like, he's got, like, maybe he's like hitting you with some kind of like crazy like snake magic, but he's still like using a physical thing to harm you or to protect himself. And I kind of like that, like, if, you know, like in Infinity War, like you see him get like knocked out.
I'm now thinking about every time he's fighting, technically. Yeah, he's still like using illusions and the butterflies, or taking something Thanos threw at him and spinning it around.
Well, it's like you see, like, he's actually, like, he's...
And even that's a little bit different, right? Because he's kind of like a sorcerer that's learned like a different style of, like, channeling energy versus like witchcraft. Feels even
that's
a little bit different,
too. Yeah, because they do separate those out. But my point is, like, even then, I think, like, I like the fact that they're you're right. There are rules to it, and it's at least somewhat grounded. Not grounded in that it's realistic, but grounded in that it can't be whatever they want it to be.
To me, the only other one I think I would look into is Loki, actually. So I would kind of compare how do they handle Doctor Strange? How do they handle Wanda? How do they handle the witches in this show? And then the only other reference to me is Loki, because he's the other like magic wielder, maybe along with his mom, Frigga.
Yeah.
Because she says like she grew up with witches. Doesn't she say that?
Oh, she does. Yeah. Well, and
Dark World, Thor the Dark World. Now we can end the episode. We did it.
Yeah,
we did
Thor the Dark World. That's what Malekith calls her.
That made me laugh. You witch. So,
man, it all goes back to Malekith.
It's just always. Somehow. I'm actually proud of us that we can continue to bring it up.
That's somehow the darkness that I want. That's the kind of, like, if we want to get real dark, let's just make it a dark world.
Man, I hope everybody's just all darkness. Hope everyone's fall is going well. I hope everyone's having a great fall except for Saints fans. And I went to Atlanta last weekend. It was fun. Went to the game. Weather's turning a little bit cooler. It's 72 outside today. I've been going for some nice jogs. I got my studio redone. If you're watching, look at this. I got like a new couch, new lighting, a totally different angle.
It is nice.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm going to close on this. Go to the ffwpodcast.com right now where you're listening, because I redid the landing page and I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, you did.
I think it looks pretty good.
You should be proud of it.
We are in the process of transitioning, and we're going to talk about this more. Friends from Work is in the process of transitioning things to a more kind of concise setup. We talked about Marvel and their branding with Marvel Television. You and I are working through what all these things are. Friends from Work. What's Friends from Work Plus? And part of that is we're trying to put more focus back on the website so that the website can be the true home of everything. Eventually, that you can find your newsletter, you can find your Discord channels, you can find the podcast and all the different ways to play it, the videos, et cetera, all on the website. And hopefully, eventually making it more community focused as well. So I'll just say we're working on that. It's going to be an awesome next year. But right now, check out the ffwpodcast.com to see my new landing page because I think it looks cool. Thanks for listening. We love all of you. So much more to come. We'll see you right back here next week on Friends from Work.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.